a mid-August tradition here at the Las Vegas Sun newsroom. Ray Brewer and myself, Case Kiefer, tuck in to a little podcast room to talk about the upcoming high school football season. And upcoming, it seems even closer than that. That word doesn't seem to do it justice. 4 days away at this point until almost all the local high schools take the field this Friday. We're here to talk about all of it, look at some overall themes for this season, go division by division here on our first podcast, Prep Sports Now. Once again, Case Kiefer with Ray Brewer. Seems like we'll keep the consistency, as I mentioned, and start with the same place we've started probably the last 5 or 6 years. We were trying to count up. This might be the unofficial 10th year of Prep Sports Now, really maybe more like 9.5 or the 8 between Brewer and I. But it seems like many of them we started off saying, can anyone catch Bishop Gorman? Gorman's won almost every state title since Prep Sports Now has been around. And I don't think there's any sane person in the world picking against them this year.
Yeah, you're right. Bishop Gorman, despite losing a 2017 class that some feel is the most celebrated in state history, players going to Ohio State and USC and, you know, multiple All-Americans, Gorman is plugging the pieces back with more highly coveted recruits. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, who's committed to UCLA, takes over at quarterback. His two main targets, Brevin Jordan, is committed to Miami. Jalen Naylor's committed to Arizona State. And the same script as years past, Case. Gorman, Friday night, ESPN, DeMatha of Maryland. So they've got the nationally ranked schedule they're playing. And they haven't lost in 54 games. And they haven't lost since 2008 to a local team. So Liberty, Arbor, chasing them down. Faith now in the discussion. But we kind of sense where the season's going to end and how it's going to end and what it's going to look like.
Yeah, I guess maybe the more interesting part two of that question that some people would bristle at, but I think it's worth asking because they've separated themselves, is there a huge gap between everyone else and Liberty at number two? Because I know we have Liberty number two coming into the season. Liberty's pretty much sat in that number two pocket for the last several years. I know, like you said, Faith on the come up, Arborview always tough, and the Southeast, there's some teams that feel like they can give Liberty a run, but is Liberty just so far ahead at number two that it's almost as futile as chasing Gorman trying to get to Liberty's level?
You know, and I think if you go Liberty versus Arbor, and I think Arbor versus the consensus number three team in town, just don't say that around Faith, because I really sense those kids at Faith think they're going to beat Arborview. That's my email going off. I think that if you played Liberty versus Arbor 10 times, would you give Liberty 7 out of 10?
This seems about fair.
Yeah, and now talking about having to replay some folks, Arborview is a run first team. They return Diego Stubbs, who has been absolutely great in the last year specifically, but he also got touches as a sophomore. But they have to replace their quarterback as well. Even though they don't throw, you still have to organize the offense and have the threat of throwing. So how is that Arborview offense going to look? Is Faith's offense so far ahead with, you know, Elijah Cody, I can't remember the quarterback's name. Am I getting old for Faith Lutheran?
Cronauer?
Yeah, because I can't say it. Sagan Gronauer,
yeah.
Who was really good last year throwing the ball. He wasn't the runner that Christian Marshall was, but with him throwing the ball, I think Faith thinks they could score with Arbor, but can they stop Arbor, and are they going to be as strong as Arbor? Because I think where Arbor has an advantage, even when you go back to the previous comment against the Liberty, which is a game we're not going to see, it's they're going to push you around on the lines. You know, Faith is better at the skilled positions on the edge, even though I love to see Cody versus Isaiah Heron from Arborview. But I think up front, Arborview is big and strong and physical. And if you go Arborview versus Gorman, which is the Sunset Championship game the week before Thanksgiving, we assume, can Arborview control the clock and match Gorman up front? Because Gorman's defensive line is going to look drastically different. Haskell Garrett's graduated. Adam Plant, who's unproven, even though he has major offers, steps in. So can Arborview do what it do, as Barnton will say, and give Gorman a fit? And if it gets to Liberty, Gorman, is Liberty going to be able to stop him? And I think we'll find out a little bit about that Saturday night. Liberty Patriots at home hosting Segura of Arizona, a battle of two top 60-50 national teams.
Yeah, for sure. Glad you mentioned that, because once upon a time, it seemed like Gorman was the only one taking to the national schedule, but not this year. Liberty opening three straight after last year playing all those national games and winning the big one, of course, in Texas. They've got Segura from Arizona, like you said, then American Heritage, where they're traveling to Florida, then the next week coming right back to play a team from Utah. Faith Lutheran, on the other hand, starting their season in Colorado and in Texas.
Against, you know, Valor Christian, who's a regional power. So back-to-back road games for the Crusaders to open the season. And if you look at, you know, the top four teams in town, right? Liberty, Gorman, Faith, Arbor. They're three of the four are following a similar script, right?
Seems like it.
You know, yeah. Multiple uniforms, out-of-state games, major D1 kids. And so as a Valley, I would say we're in a great situation. Now, of course, there's a significant drop-off, even maybe in the top 10 after those four teams. But those four teams are going to go out and really push themselves. And you can make an argument that if you look at Liberty's younger players and Faith's younger players, that they may be better than Gorman's younger players. And I know people are going to rip me for that at Gorman, but I think that they've done a good job of getting some of the kids who are good and younger. Now, are they going to develop them like Gorman has developed its younger kids? And you know, you see how the kids matriculate up through the system, and the next guy up, no matter who it is, has been successful. So everybody's chasing Gorman. I don't know when the marathon's going to end, but it's going to be fun watching it.
Yeah, you would know better than me, so I should probably just let that comment stand. But I find that very hard to believe that these young kids are better than Gorman's. I mean, Gorman, yeah, we can champion how the kids have stepped up, next man up. It's been great, but I mean, the fact of the matter is they go from, like, having one 4- or 5-star recruit to another 3- or 4-star recruit.
At every position.
Yeah.
I get the narrative.
So,
yeah. But I'm telling you right now, Faith has some really, really good younger players. They have some kids who are going to be freshmen and sophomore starting this year on varsity. And I'm told reliably that Liberty's younger kids are really good as well. Are they better than Gorman's younger kids? I don't know. How many younger kids that are good could there be in Las Vegas? I mean, is there 40 legit D1 kids that are freshmen or sophomores? And are they all at Faith, Gorman, and Liberty?
Well, a lot of these answers we're going to have to wait a couple years to play out. Something to keep an eye on this year to start seeing itself, you know, as it comes up. But that's a pretty good overview of the top four teams. I guess
let me tell you this, too, while we're going. And I hate to cut you off. I'm going to try to be as positive as I can this year. So if you see me saying anything dumb, throw some water at me.
I got really cold water.
I know, and you got a really thick canister. Also, I wanted to let all our listeners/readers know that we made a decision to disable comments on all high school sports stories because some people, probably not our loyal fans, can't police themselves and consistently say bad things about kids. The one story I can't disable the comments on are this podcast. So I'm going to have to monitor the sandbox, and if somebody steps out of line, let me know, and we'll kick them out, because the last thing we want to do is ridicule a kid who's out there trying his hardest, getting 6 games at home as a senior, and is trying to enjoy himself because we're pretty petty and we hate certain things. So please don't be jerks. Case and I don't want to hear it, and Case is laughing at me right now.
No, I just,
you're laughing at me.
No, I had no idea. This is news to me. You learn something every day. But
I pulled the plug. I didn't even consult you.
All right. Well, sounds good. But have a good time in the podcast comments, though, since I guess that's your only place.
Just, Gorman, for example, beats Liberty, and there's 183 comments before the pen dries on whatever what. And we're ridiculing kids, and it's not productive. Or somebody profiles a kid at some random school and, you know, instead of focusing on how whatever, we want to focus on the negative, and that's baloney.
All right, well, there you have it from Ray Brewer. Hard to argue against any of those points. Any other major topics to discuss beyond those four big teams? What else stands out going into the season?
You know, I'm curious as to Canyon Springs, right? The Northeast, we know, has two teams that are competitive, Vegas and Canyon, and three teams that are trying to become competitive: El Dorado, Valley, and Rancho. El Dorado slightly ahead of Valley and Rancho, and Canyon Springs, who we have in our top five, whose quarterback Diamante Burton I will put up against anybody in town. How are they going to get better for when the playoffs come? Because we saw it last year. Vegas and Canyon had a great back and forth game, right? And the playoffs came, and Canyon lost by 20 to the four seed in the Southeast.
Foothill.
To Foothill, yeah. So how's that going to pan out? Vegas High, slightly different look this year. Alumni, graduate, state champion, Coach Cap is now in charge of the program, trying to get the old Eastside Pride rolling in the right direction. And they got some good kids at the skill position. They return Elijah Hicks, four-year starter, three times, you know, all-city kid. Quarterback's been there for 3 years. I don't know if they're going to be able to stop anybody. We'll find out. And I think that may be a common theme across the board, CK, is are we going to be able to stop anybody? You know, is
Seems
Liberty
right.
going to be able to stop anybody? Is Green Valley going to be able to stop anybody? To be announced. Are we going to have a lot of WAC scores, Western Athletic Conference, old school BYU, Wyoming scores?
Yeah, the offenses do seem ahead of the defenses going into this year, and I feel like I'd be remiss if after that, talking about Canyon Springs, not to mention that our colleague Jesse Granger, who you'll hear from sometimes on this podcast, swears by Canyon Springs as the number three team in town. So
you're telling me, I wish he was in here so we could yell at him. You tell me you line up Canyon against Arbor and they lose? Arbor?
I'm not with him. I'm just reporting the facts. I'm
know.
Picking Arbor.
I'm a kid. Yeah, I just
– I like Canyon. I think this could be one of their better teams.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree, but there's no way they're better than those teams.
Yeah, I would take Arbor big time in that game. Well, I guess we kind of already touched on it when you talked about what happened last year between Canyon and Vegas, but looking at the Northeast overall – to start the upper level previews, I guess El Dorado's kind of penciled into that three, and then Rancho and Valley, it's kind of amazing one's going to be in the playoffs. Anything else to say about this division?
You know, I'm looking forward to that Canyon Vegas game. It's quietly become one of the better rivalries in Las Vegas. There's some history. The teams are pretty evenly matched. Comes down to game day execution. And if I'm the coaches of Canyon in Vegas, I ask myself, how do I keep my kids sharp and competitive going into the playoffs? Because you kind of – the way Nevada is, and it sucks, but you kind of know going into the year that you're going to have a home playoff game. If you're in the 4A – if you're in the 3A Sunrise where there's only four teams now because Boulder's out, yet you kind of know you're a playoff team. Every team in the 3A Sunrise is in the playoffs. Virgin Valley, Moapa Valley, Chaparral, and Del Sol. So Del Sol's got a new coach, Mike Valenzuela, right? Seems to be a great guy. Was at Mountain View, did some good things over there. They got a good tailback, Tariq Flowers. He is in the playoffs first year. Resume looks good, doesn't it? Right?
If you don't dig a little deeper and see that,
you don't
I'm sure
know.
He's going to do a good job, but not to knock against him.
So,
but.
So yeah, you go back to the Northeast. I really
don't know how he got into that.
I'm on a tangent.
All right.
You know, in the Northeast case, that El Dorado and Valley and Rancho are going to be possibly running clock wins. I love what Robert Cutts has done at Eldo. He just is lacking some Jimmies and Joes. The Wrangell kid is back for, like, his 18th year as quarterback, and he had just, you know, a 2-to-1 interception to touchdown ratio last year. And, you know, that obviously has to get better for them to win some games.
Yeah, maybe I'm just buying into it a little bit more, but from seeing all the teams come through our high school football media day, it really seemed like El Dorado was confident that they were improved this year. Not to say they're going to be one or two, but I don't necessarily think they're going to just be embarrassed against Vegas and Canyon, and I would be stunned if they lost to either Rancho or Valley. So I guess my final thoughts on the Northeast is October 13th might be the game to watch, Rancho at Valley, because one of those teams gets to put on that resume you were talking about.
First round of the playoffs.
Yeah, they get to go to the playoffs. That's one extra game. So the Northeast, I think it starts with Canyon. Vegas has a fighter's chance. El Dorado kind of bridging the gap. Rancho and Valley, as usual, kind of at the back, but one of them's going to the playoffs. All right, way more interesting division, I think, although there might be a similar gulf at the top. The Southeast, Liberty, as we said, the number two team in town, top 100 team nationally, and they're going to have a chance to go up with these national games. Kenyon Oblad back for a fourth year. Seems like he's gotten better every year, so it's going to be scary for these defenses. I sure hope someone out of Foothill, Green Valley, Silverado, Coronado Basic has their secondary figured out, because that's the only way they're going to keep it close against Liberty.
So here's the question you have to ask, kind of like we did at the beginning of the show with Gorman, right? We looked at the possibilities of Liberty beating Gorman, Arborview beating Gorman, Faith maybe one day beating Gorman. So let's look at the Southeast, right? Because that's the big dog division. What's the chances of Green Valley getting hot or Liberty getting hot to beat?
You mean Basic, I'm guessing?
Yeah, Green Valley or Basic getting hot and beating a Liberty.
I mean, I'll say this. I think Liberty is going undefeated yet again. What they've lost, like, one league game in the last seven years, something like that, and that was to a team that's not even in the league anymore, Canyon Springs.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I will say I think there's a much better chance of Green Valley or Basic at all clicking together and beating Liberty than one of those teams beating Gorman.
Yeah, now, I like what Green Valley does offensively. Okay, you've got last year they went 1-4 in league, but they had injuries everywhere, including a quarterback where A.J. Barilla, B-A-R-I-L-L-A, how do you say that?
I just assume you're right. It could be Berea, though, or is it Barilla?
I'm not sure. Either way, where that dude had a freak accident where a utility tool, like, landed on his leg out all year, he's back. The offense moves at a fast pace, and this kid is getting comparisons to Oblad, who's got all these college scholarships. So if Green Valley's able to move the rock and score, could they hold on and play some defense and maybe beat a Liberty?
Yeah, defense was a big problem for them last year. I know they have some guys back, lost some guys, but that's going to be, like you talked about at the top of the show, seeing if they can put it together defensively. One thing in Barilla, I should learn how to say this, maybe listen back to their interview from Media Day, has going for them is I feel like they have a deep receiver core. I mean, you look at these names, it's guys you saw on the field last year, Christian Mayberry, of course, Braxton Harms, and then even last year's quarterback who had to take over for Barilla, and after all those injuries, Wyla, try to pronounce the last year's quarterback name. Remember, we had fun with that. Kalijah Wyla, also going to play receiver, so I think he has a lot of targets. And Green Valley, another team's going to put up a lot of points. If they can improve defensively from last year, I think this is a team that's going to easily compete for the number two in the Southeast.
And that's the thing. You know the Southeast, right? You got teams that could score. Right, Basic scores 40 points a game every year. The Miro kid is sophomores at quarterback, and they expect him to do great things. He'll throw to Gallegos. He'll throw to Zach Grikamakis. How'd you like that? Did I get that right, baby?
I would think it's Grismanukis.
Same thing.
I'm guessing. I don't know if I'm
Zach
right either.
Zach G in the house. But the teams don't have athletes, right? Okay, so last year Basic had the Frank Harris kid. He was really good, right?
You only begrudgingly had to say they had quote-unquote athletes.
Okay, yeah.
I think you got yourself in some hot water, and you might be again by saying they didn't have any guys that could run.
But if you look at a Green Valley, right, do they have athletes? Do they have, like, athletes like we may see, like, at some of the schools a few notches up on the belt? Do they have the speed?
Well, that's not even fair, a few notches up on the belt, because they're, like, in a different stratosphere to me.
Okay,
I don't know.
I'm
I
just
need to see Green
that, like,
Valley. I would think Basic is probably going to.
I love what Green Valley could do. I love their scheme. I love the quarterback. I like the Mayberry kid. I like the Harms kid. But do they have the Jimmy and the Joe that – am I getting myself in
hard? God, if I hear Jimmy and Joe's one more time, I'm going to walk out of this room.
Really? Do they have the Bob and Case that could get up
the field? They got the Braxtons and the Christians. I would say, though, I think Basic, and this might just be based on last year or their reputation, I do think Basic will be a little bit speedier. They play that up-tempo style. I know they're saying they might slow it down some for the new sophomore quarterback, Paul Miro. But as you said, it's kind of like the secret's out of the bag, and a lot of people are saying this guy is really good.
That kid's Joe Montana.
So, I mean, I know they still have Dorian McAllister, Franco Mays. I think they have some kids that are going to be able to run past some people.
Okay, is the Bell kid at Liberty – so Liberty's got – two good DBs, right? Octavian Bell, undersized but good. Alan Mawada, committed to San Diego State, undersized and good, right?
Okay. What are you saying with this? Are they capable of slowing these quarterbacks?
Yeah.
I guess I just have no idea. I haven't seen either of these guys. I don't think – you
like,
probably
I
haven't seen much of them either.
Every game in the Southeast getting over at like 11:30. There's going to be a minimum 100 pass attempts. When Green Valley plays Liberty – there's going to be 100 pass attempts, right?
Yeah, could see it for sure.
Never touch the ground.
I mean, those Liberty defensive backs are so heralded. I do feel like it's going to be tough for those, especially if you look at maybe you should look closer at their schedules. But I feel like there's going to be some games where Barilla and maybe Miro and some of the other teams in this division, by the way, are going to throw a lot too. Coronado and Silverado. I think there's going to be, when they play lesser competition, they put up big numbers, but there's going to be a definite adjustment going into that Liberty game. I do think Liberty's going to be able to defend the pass a little bit better than, you know, whoever these teams are playing earlier in the year. Bonanza, I know, is on Green Valley's schedule. Not to single them out, but that's who I had in front of me.
Okay, so Liberty is the top dog in the Southeast. Basic and Green Valley, 2-3, flip a coin, right?
Yes, on paper, but I'm always a little hesitant for this because every single year it seems like Foothill has one step out of the door. They look like locked into the four, maybe even miss the playoffs, and they're always better than you expect. So I'm telling you right now, I would not be stunned if they sneak up to the three somehow or even the two. It's just I've done doubting them. Even though I agree on paper, they're behind the other three. But –
I just don't know how they're going to score, but that
you give Silverado and Coronado no chance. They both were fired up, and
no chance.
Silverado's going to throw the ball like 100 times a game.
Yeah, well, I'll see that when it happens.
Coronado, supposedly the last year's quarterback, is playing in college somewhere, and this quarterback's supposed to be even better. Not buying it?
No, I mean, I'm not. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing, Case. I just, again, I'm not. I'm very happy to be here, Case. I think that...
So no surprises in the Southeast.
No surprises.
All right. Who are you taking in the two, Basic or Green Valley?
Well, I did the preseason top 10, and I have Basic ahead of Green Valley because I think it wins Henderson Bowl. So.
I picked Basic over Green Valley, too, in the preview, but I'm kind of having second thoughts. I want to see Green Valley. I feel like this could be the year Green Valley reasserts itself after missing the playoffs last year. Silverado was a playoff team last year.
The
Green
thing
Valley
is, when
not.
You rely on a quarterback, if he has an off day or if it's like windy, which it happens in the fall in Las Vegas, you're up the creek without a paddle, and you got to be able to run the rock.
Ah, a new cliche. Right? Well, just when I think we can't get any new ones, we got one. Up the creek, well, whatever it was.
Without a paddle, baby.
Up the creek without a paddle.
You haven't heard that before?
I think I've heard it before. I haven't heard it from you.
Okay, you've heard my dogs are barking now.
Yeah, I've heard all. I've heard them. I thought I heard them all until I heard that one. All right, well, up the creek with a paddle to the Northwest League, in the running with the Southeast for, I guess, the most competitive in town. This one's going to be fun to watch because I feel like, you know, I might slightly agree with Brewer that it seems like the Southeast is easy to label the four playoff teams. I don't think it's quite as easy in the Northwest. There's five or six teams you can make a case for making the playoffs. You've got Arborview. Of course, we already talked about probably at the number one. Beyond that, Faith, who has a lot of hype but hasn't been, you know, only their second year at the top level. So you've got Centennial, Legacy, Palo, Shadow Ridge, Cimarron probably beyond those. But it's going to be really interesting to see how it shakes out beyond that. I think there's going to be some really close games, as there were last year.
Yeah, Darwin Ross, the former Paolo coach, used to call it the black and blue division, and I think that reigns supreme this year. If you look at it, so Centennial has a new coach, new quarterback, and some good younger players. Paolo won its last three games to close out the season last year. Shadow started off like gangbusters last year, 6-1, and then fell off. And it just shows you how tough that league is. And, of course, Legacy has a quarterback who they like, Roberto Valenzuela. But they lose Sam Turner at running back, so how are they going to run the rock to provide balance, and can they stop anybody? So it's quite an interesting league. I think there's going to be some close games, some upsets. Arbor and Faith, for me, clear-cut at the top. And I think the last two spots are going to be up for grabs between Legacy, Paolo, Centennial, and Shadow, right? Am I forgetting anybody?
Cimarron.
Cimarron, I think, God bless them, they're not going to be in the top four.
I didn't think so either, but Granger, to go back to him, has them fifth in the division. Listen, what's up with that?
We like Granger. He did better than me on the picks last year. It's not happening. Go ahead.
That was pretty surprising to me, but I can't believe I never thought I would see a day where the Northwest, this is Granger's, not ours to say, but the bottom two teams he has are Centennial and Palo Verde.
I know.
Well, I just can't get with that.
Ten years ago when we started this show, to see the bottom three then be Cimarron, Centennial, and Paolo.
That's true as well.
It shows you how the population is moving to certain spots.
You know, I just don't think – I don't see Palo Verde being the last place team. I know they're not
– Yeah.
They don't have the guys they did a few years ago, but I like Joe Asneras a lot. I feel like he's one of the better coaches in town. You saw what they did last year. You had totally written them off, and they won some games.
A lot of injuries last year, too. I agree with you on that.
And Centennial, I think if I was making my top, I think I would have Centennial in the playoffs.
They lost a lot, bro.
I like
their new coach.
I like Dustin Forshiel a lot.
Smart guy,
seems
Brad
like...
Talich, disciple, and Brad is great. Let me ask you this. So the Southwest, which is Gorman and Change, and the Northwest compete in the Sunset Region, right?
Yes.
Okay. Put the teams that I have on the outside looking in of the Northwest, Centennial, whomever else, Shadow. Put them in the Southwest. Where do they finish?
So you have Legacy in the playoffs?
I do.
All right. I just want just.
Icy's always doubting you, bro.
No, I was just curious because you kind of just beat around the bush of the teams you have out. We got to establish the teams you have in first.
Read the preview, baby.
The preview's not yours.
It is. I wrote the Northwest.
That's Granger.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, we were just reading Granger's finish.
Well, that's that might be mine. I might have gave him the byline on accident.
Okay, so you had Paolo in last?
Let me double check. I'm getting old, guys. I'm 41 now. My mind's all crazy. But back to my original point. Yeah, this is my. Oh no, I did the Southwest. Oh, my bad. That is Granger. That's hot take. My bad.
So yeah, I'm trying to figure out who you have, and I'm guessing based on what you said, you have Arbor, Faith, Legacy, and Shadow.
Yeah.
Okay.
They got Centennial. I like where they're heading. They're just not getting there right now. But you put them over in the other league, baby, and they're the two, in my opinion.
Yeah, I could agree with that. I think they could even threaten. Some of those teams could threaten for the one. It might take an upset.
No.
But
Gorman's the.
Okay. Yeah. The Southwest. Gotcha.
Southwest,
I'm
yeah.
thinking. I thought we were crossing.
Crossing sides of the city.
I was talking about like quarterbacks with a lot of hype. Centennial has Vladimir Plotnikov.
First year starter. Was behind a D1 kid, but he appears to be good.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. I don't know. I need to see it. I know Legacy has had some really good moments. It seems like for the last 3 years. It seems like they just have a tough time to sustain it. Maybe this is the year it finally all comes together. I certainly wouldn't count them out. In fact, I think I might have them in the playoffs. I guess where we digress is I probably wouldn't pick Shadow. I just feel – I know Shadow was good at the beginning of last year, but I think I went to one or two of their games at the end, and it was just a mess. That's just too stuck in my mind to
I know.
To
they
throw
really
them in there.
Fell off the face of the earth last year. I agree.
So, yeah, I guess I'm a little bit higher on Centennial than the consensus. I think I'm with you on the other three, though. I think Arborview, Faith, and Legacy should have playoff spots.
Okay. Southwest, who's going to be number two?
You tell me.
We're number two, right? Because Gorman's the one, and then you got five teams that are, like, exactly the same.
Six teams, right?
No, one, two, three, four. Yeah, six teams. My bad.
Yeah.
They load up that league.
Last year, Sierra Vista
was
came out on top of it. Them and Durango were both undefeated, set up for that big game.
And then Durango missed the playoffs.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot Durango lost the next week, too, and missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
This year, it kind of seems like Clark might be trailing. I'm a little bit behind.
Clark is going to play Boulder in week one, and Boulder's an independent team. So Clark, Ricky Pickens, new coach. Moore's kid's back for year number four. Aquante, see what happens.
I inadvertently picked on Bonanza earlier, just saying that they might not be able to hang in the Southeast, but I think they could be a pick for the number two here.
Yeah, and I like what Coach Dion Lee's done over there. He's had a massive fundraising drive. He's got some new uniforms for the kids, some other upgrades. Joey Fox is the real deal. He loves the Kyle Allison kid. Josh Wilson's going to catch a lot of balls for Bonanza. So they're going to be able to score some points. Don't know how they're going to be on defense, which is a common theme here today. But Desert Oasis and Clark, to me, are going to be on the outside looking in. So it's going to come down to Spring Valley, Bonanza, and Durango for the final two spots. Gorman's the clear one. Sierra Vista, for me, is the inside track at the two. Spring Valley, they've got a quarterback, Silo Stanton. He sat out last year, Case, after transfers from Canyon Springs. If this guy's as good as they think he is, maybe they have a leg.
All name team of Spring Valley. Silo Stanton, Clark Ginnikin, and Cash Jenkins. I love the names over there.
I totally agree.
I don't know. You had sold me on Bonanza, and then you don't even have him in the playoffs.
I know, and I heard about that.
I've got Bonanza in the playoffs here for sure. I like what Sierra Vista has done, so I'm going to go with Sierra Vista. I guess Spring Valley would be my other team. I'm going to go with Durango dropping off. Durango not really dropping off, as they missed the playoffs last year. So I guess my four would be Gorman, Vista, Bonanza, and Spring Valley.
Here's my deal with Durango. Scott Murdoch, new coach. We don't know how he's going to be on game day. But you look at the players, Renshaw, TK Fotu, Kevin O'Neill, guys who've played a lot of football. Renshaw and Fotu are only going to be juniors. Those two guys, for me, and I hate to go back to this, another saying that you hate, and I'm going to use it, best players on the field type of thing. When they line up against a Spring Valley or a Bonanza or a Dio or a Clark, I think just having those two guys are going to be enough. That's why I got Durango.
All right, well, football, not a game of two people, luckily, so I'm going to have to go against Durango. I think they usually don't have very big numbers.
You say
either.
That because you played. I get it, yeah.
I don't say that because I played. I say that because it's the truth. But anyways, I digress. Seems like the Southwest will actually be, I think, kind of fun to follow this year. I mean, it might hasn't been as much the last few years, but with all these teams kind of equal, should be a fun one to follow.
Whoever has the Gorman hangover.
Yeah, I'm on Bonanza. I think Bonanza is going to get to the playoffs this year. Let's briefly touch on the 3A. Seems a little bit weird, but I do believe the 3A Sunrise defending champion, Virgin Valley.
Virgin Valley, Jaden Perkins, tailback, who rushed for four digits last year. He returns. Listen, Shap, my alma mater, lost its quarterback. They're going to have a sophomore quarterback under center. Even though they've been to back-to-back state semifinals. Here's the deal, bro, with the 3A. You're a game away from the state semifinals, basically. If you finish – if you're Virgin or whoever you are and you win the Sunrise, you're going to get a team like Pahrump in the first round of the playoffs, right? That means you win the game and you're in the state quarters. You're one game away from going into the snow and playing in Reno, right? But if you finish fourth and you got to play DP in the first round, pack up your bags, bro. Right? Because DP defending 3A champs, they graduated 38 kids. They returned, whatever, a handful. They got the Williamson kid at quarterback, but they got a ton of transfers. Kid going to Arizona that was at Desert Oasis. And DP's going to be able to get at it. So you need to avoid Desert Pines. So we'll look at the Sunset 3A. It's Desert Pines and it's new, the new look Jaguars. They're the clear one. Jaden Mitchell at wideout, committed to Arizona. Caleb Ramsey, safety. Newsom, Andre Newsom, running the rock, sprained his ankle and scrimmage. He'll be back after a week. And then who's the two? Oh, I got a hot take too. Go ahead, bro.
All right. Well, we'll hear your hot take. First of all, the last thing I wanted to ask on the Sunrise is just we looked at the last few years. It was RDP and Moapa going to tangle in the playoffs because they kind of had that rivalry going on. They were the team to really threaten him. Is there even a team in either division that's going to threaten DP this year? Maybe that's part of your take. I'll to use some radio parlance, I'll hang up and listen. But I want to know if anyone can mess with DP. Is it Virgin Valley? Is Moapa? Do you not ever count them out? Who is it?
Well, see, DP's got a good group of sophomores. And having younger players who haven't really matured in the weight room and physically doesn't bode well for your guys who are making tackles, your linebackers, and on the lines. So I think DP has the potential to be good, but by no means are they what they were last year, unless Jaden Mitchell is Donnell Pumphrey, right? So while DP's the favorite, they're going to get challenged. You know, they're going into Arbor in week two. They're going to get smashed, right? But who else is in that? Who's the second best team in the Sunset? And we'll go quick. Mojave, Pahrump.
You know these teams Western. Way better than me. To be honest, you pick.
Shh.
Talk me through it. Give me the options. And give me a brief overview, and I'll give you my selection.
Mojave, who probably has one of the best players in the league with Tywee Walker, running back DB, built like a brick house. Pahrump, who, same thing, if you got to go to Pahrump, it's tough, right? Western, who hasn't won since 2011. New coach, Tyler Tuiasapopo, who I love, and I love what he's doing. Cheyenne, who's always competitive. New coach. Am I missing anybody over there, bro?
Sunrise.
Sunrise Mountain, who disappointed me last year. Sawyers. I had them in the top 10, remember, last year, bro, and they underwhelmed.
Maybe I'm going to go with the post-hype Miners. The year you're expecting them to be good, they kind of disappoint this year. I still like Chris Sawyers. I feel like there's less pressure on them. I don't think any of these teams jump out. I might have to go Sunrise Mountain.
If I give you my second pick and it comes in, will you take me to lunch at T-Birds? I want that stumble.
Right, yeah.
Can I get a high five? If I lose, I just lose.
What, do I get the lunch if my team comes in second?
Okay, who's your team?
Sunrise.
Okay, where at? T-Birds?
T-Birds, yeah.
Can we get that thing to share?
Yeah.
Okay,
I've got Sunrise as the two. If it doesn't come in, if either verse don't come in, or it's just canceled, it's void.
Okay, that's a good bet. I like Western to take second.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I thought you were going Pahrump.
Oh, I think Western running clock's Pahrump. I think they running clock Rancho this week.
Wow.
I am so impressed with that coach and what he's doing. Go to their Twitter and look at some of their practice and what they're doing. This guy, I'm telling you right now, you're talking like top coaches in the Valley. Like, this guy is good, bro. He's really good. If he stays at Western for a while and can get some kids to play, it's Western, I get it. But they're not. It's not like they're competing against Gorman or anybody. They got to beat Desert Pines is in the way.
All right, well, speaking of things you never thought you would hear on Prep Sports Now when we started doing this together 8 years ago, Western in second. That's crazy. I do know the guy's energy is infectious, and it seems like they are better than ever, but I think a two might be going a little bit far. I'm looking forward to that Sunrise Mountain Western game, whenever
they
play.
Okay, so you like – give me your top four. I'll give you my top four, and we're going to get on with the picks for the week.
I'll go DP, obviously.
I got them too. Check.
Pahrump. Sorry. Sunrise. I already picked Sunrise. Then you got Pahrump, Cheyenne, and Western.
and Mojave.
I'm throwing out Mojave. One great player. I don't know.
In that league?
Other than that.
You put that kid on
put
that kid on Western, or we're going to Jostens, Kiefer.
I'm not saying they don't have a chance. I'm just saying you got to get rid of someone.
Okay.
I guess I'll go Cheyenne and Parump.
Okay,
I'll take Western fifth since you are so high on them.
I'm going
second.
DP Western Sunrise. Gosh darn, Mojave, not Cheyenne.
Wow, Mojave. Yeah. All right,
and that's embarrassing because we've had some talks about Mojave, and I'm embarrassed with myself.
All right, well, we have two different teams out of the playoffs on that one. Sunset.
Can we go get
Should
that Stromboli? At lunch at work, or are we going to have to go on Saturday?
Probably at work. Yeah! I don't think I'm going to be going on Saturday.
All right, good. Here we go, Warriors. Here we go. All right, picks, baby. First game of the year.
Basic and Cheyenne.
On TV.
Paul Miro debut on TV.
Running clock, Wolf Pack.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how many points they put up. I've got Basic right with you.
God, if this Miro kid turns out to be bad. I called him Joe Montana 20 minutes ago, but go ahead.
Yeah, you're pretty high on him. The second game of the year, I guess, because it starts a little bit earlier than the rest on Friday, Gorman hosting DeMatha from Maryland.
Yeah, this we're all curious to see the new look Gorman Gales, rated fourth in the nation to start the season, three-time defending national champions, eight-time defending state champs. DTR was like, and scrimmages don't count, obviously, but he was like, ball didn't hit the floor against Liberty, and he threw for 183 touchdowns. I don't like a team from Maryland coming to the Vegas Heat. 6 o'clock, it's going to be brutal. I think the Gorman players are going to be conditioned and ready to go. Give me Brevin Jordan. Give me DTR. The Palo Leite Gaete kid. Gaete. He should be ready to go. He sat out this last week. He's been banged up. The Adam Plant kid's ready for a big year. The secondary is a work in progress, but I think they got enough at home to make it 55 going into modern day over Labor Day for the streak to end.
All right. I'm with Gorman, too. I think I just don't pick against Gorman anymore. They've won too many games in a row. DeMatha looks like not quite at Gorman's level, so I'm with you on Gorman. A number two team in town, Liberty, hosting a national opponent, or at least regional opponent, in Saguaro, Arizona. I hate to pick against all the local teams, but I think that it looks like Saguaro's got a lot back, probably even more than Liberty. I'm going to say they win a somewhat close one. Liberty keeps it close, but Saguaro wins.
I think this is going to be a high-scoring affair. It reminds me of a few years ago when the Hawaii team came in and Ethan Dedeau had like 7 touchdowns.
Well, that game was like 70-50. You only have this one 39-27.
Yeah, but I just don't think that Liberty's got a Ethan Dedeau who could get up and keep scoring. You look at some of Liberty's first games to open the season. They went down to Hawaii and lost. They lost at Gorman to the Tucson Catholic School. I think that the Patriots start the season with an L. It'll be close, but I think Segura's slightly ahead of them.
All right, we're in agreement there.
Throw a tomato at me when he sees me. Go ahead.
Faith Lutheran traveling to Colorado, as we spoke of earlier, to take on Valor Christian, who's a power in that area. I think Faith is going to get better and better as the year goes on, but I think they're going to lose in the first one.
Beautifully, eloquently said. Anxious to see how they score. Remember, these games aren't to go undefeated and win a natty. These games were to get better, to beat Arbor View and then Gorman.
They throw some tomatoes too. I think they won't be happy that we both picked against
them.
Okay. But what can you do? Desert Pines at Bishop Diego in California.
Listen, DP's leaving Friday, driving down there and then playing. That's a tough cross to bear. Give me, especially when it's new look DP, a lot of first time guys, give me Bishop Diego.
I know nothing about Bishop Diego. I usually like to look up some of these teams before.
Go with your heart, bro.
I think I've won the last couple years of picks in a row, by the way. I think it's because I looked up some of these out-of-state teams used to just have a rule where you pick against every local team out of state.
It was a good rule, bro.
It wasn't the last couple of years. I think I even got, like, Durango or someone with, or someone you wouldn't expect would even go there and win. Certainly, by the sounds of it, I would think Bishop Diego is probably a little more experienced. I think Desert Pines is going to take a while. I'm going to say close game again. I hate to pick against all the local teams, but I'm going to go Bishop Diego. Maybe give Desert Pines a better look if they were at
home.
So
we all have
not.
We're four or four of the same, right? Or five of five of the same, right?
So far, okay. We're all the same.
Okay.
Maybe we change here. Coronado at Cimarron.
Granger loves Cimarron. I pick Coronado.
Granger beat both of us last year.
Here's my deal. This Gavin Whale kid, the kicker/punter, all of his kickoffs go in the end zone. So that means Cimarron's going to have to go 80 yards to score. I think field position plays big. I know Coronado's going to try to run the rock. It's going to be a comedy of errors in week one like many games are. I take the Cougs and my kicker.
Cimarron has a good offensive line. That's a thing I look for. Usually not much of a lag there. If you have a good line, they're going to be good from the beginning. Granger beat both of us out of respect to him and what I feel is a coin flip. I'm going to go with Cimarron.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just a Northwest guy because there's another game I'm picking the Northwest over the Southeast here later. Cimarron for me at this one. We finally break. Rancho at Western. You called for a running clock earlier, but your score is only 28 points for the Warriors.
18 points, too.
Is that what I said? What did I say? Oh, okay.
That's okay. I just, out of respect, I mean, this team hasn't won since 2011. They don't have JV teams often years. They got six or seven kids. They're a mess. Western's a train wreck running off the tracks.
What is running clock? I always forget. I should know this.
I think it's 40 now.
Okay, yeah. Not getting to running clock, but Western wins. I'm on board with you.
Okay.
El Dorado at Spring Valley.
If the Stanton kid's the real deal, Staten, whatever his name is, Skylo, give me a W, Grizzlies.
Yep, Stanton to Cash Jenkins. I'm with Spring Valley, too.
Money in the bank, woo-wee!
But I think this is closer than you have it.
Eldo Spring?
Yeah.
All right, bro.
28 points? 44-16?
They're playing Eldo, bro.
I thought Eldo was a little better.
They are a little better, but Spring Valley's got a real player at quarterback.
All right. I'm going to say Eldo keeps it a little bit closer. I don't think it's going to be like a scare for Spring Valley at home or anything, but I've got Spring Valley. Our review at Las Vegas, another game we don't disagree on the winner, but we definitely disagree on the score. I do not see Vegas keeping it close with our review.
I think the kitty cats roar, baby. I think this is, a game they've been looking forward to prove themselves. I've absolutely liked the Elijah Hicks kid's going to get the rock and create. And, Arborview isn't set up to kill a team. They're going to have to methodically do it. I don't know. Vegas gets some good field position. Maybe they hang tight. I think it's going to be close. Give me the Aggies.
I think you just look at some of Arborview's scores the last few years, and that kills your narrative that they aren't set up to blow out some teams because they've had plenty of blowouts.
Blowout teams with a three-time All-City selection at tailback. They're not going to like be home at 9 o'clock.
All our review games get over at like 9 o'clock.
Did you listen to Barnson's interview at all at Media Day?
I might have done it.
He's like, yeah, one week we're playing for a chicken. The next week we're playing for a cross street.
Yeah. I think I did that.
Yeah, that was a good quote. Too bad he doesn't listen to our podcast. He says he hates it. He likes us, but he just doesn't want to hear our – he doesn't want to get sidetracked with our opinions.
I don't believe it. I've got our review in this game, and I think Barnson's done a great job there and will continue to do so.
You got him big?
This year.
You
got him big? I mean, what do we consider big?
I don't know.
I got him over 2 touchdowns for sure.
All right.
Are we trying to come up with a bet of the week?
No.
Okay.
I ain't getting involved with that right now.
Our review, and for both of us, me bigger than Brewer, Legacy – at Silverado, this was not the Northwest-Southeast game I was talking about, but I guess here is another one where I'm going with the Northwest. I think Legacy has something to prove. I think they have a lot more guys back than Silverado. Longhorns big in this one.
Totally agree.
All right, Palo Verde at Sierra Vista. If you're really this high on Palo Verde being down, you and Granger both have them as the worst team in the division. Maybe this is a spot for Sierra Vista to keep things close.
Well, we just talked about what if you plugged in a team that may be projected to be bad in the Northwest, the Cadillac of divisions in town. and threw them in the Southwest, the Toyota Corolla divisions in town, right?
Yeah, so we're going to see this. We're going to see.
Just Gorman's a Corolla, right? With a nice radio system under that argument. But, I mean, I think I like Vista up front, and if they could get some guys into space, again, Palo's not set up to beat a team by 100 points. I think it's going to come down to execution. It's going to be a one-possession game, and I like the Mountain Lions at home. Defend their turf, baby. Did I just talk you into it?
No, I'm stunned. I thought you were picking Palo.
No.
No way. I'm not picking Sierra Vista against Palo Verde. Come on. I think this is like – Palo Verde still has some vestiges of when they were a power. They've still got some kids that can play. I think they're going to be good defensively. I think you are way underrating Asnarez. I think that
I'm not underrating him. I'm underrating –
I think he's going to have kids in the right spot. And Sierra Vista is very well coached as well. But I think Palo Verde has got – a few more players.
Okay.
I'm going to go Palo Verde. I agree, close game, but I did not think you were picking that.
CK, I was like, bro, there's a lot of coin flips, and I know you hate when I use that term. So
no, I don't hate coin flips. Even though that's a cliche, too, I can go with it. I can use coin flips.
All right, well,
I don't like when you say anyone have a coin.
All of a sudden, you're now the cliche police.
No, I've always been the cliche police. That's why I got into journalism, where cliches are not supposed to be allowed. I don't like when you say anyone have a coin.
Tell that to Granger, by the
in
way.
In the picks.
That thing.
I don't like your anyone have a coin. I like coin flip to describe the games.
Oh, you don't like there's anyone have a coin?
Yeah.
Means like, hey, I don't know. Bro,
I just
give
got
me a
worn.
Coin, I flip it.
I got it. I just got worn down after, like I said, 8 years of doing this now. All right, well, two games in a row we're going to be different on, though, because, like I said, I've got Palo Verde, you've got Sierra Vista. In the next coin flip, Centennial at Foothill, who do you got?
That's a far drive in rush hour, bro. Remember, the economy's booming. People are back. The freeways are going to be stacked. Foothill at home, you know the band's going to be screaming.
Mr. Home Field doesn't matter. I'm glad you're coming around.
That was in basketball. The stands are going to be packed.
No, that was football, too.
Did you know that
I
Jared Abels from Foothill had like 208 tackles last
Jared
year?
Jared Abels is might be the best player on the field, but that doesn't mean he's on the best team on
the
field.
Listen, here's the deal. Centennial, we like where they're heading, but they ain't there yet. Foothill, this is going to be the start of possibly a fourth-place finish in the Southeast. I'll take the Falcons. We are the Mowdy Falcons. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Boop!
I got Centennial. I think they're going to be able to throw
the
ball.
Give me the number.
Foothill's at home, so...
Don't sandbag me.
I'd say Foothill's like a 2.5-point favorite.
Wow, you liar. Go ahead to the next
game. I'm a liar? Centennial didn't make the playoffs last year. Foothill won a playoff game by like 30 points.
Different sides of town. Different
what
sides
do you,
of
what
town.
Do you think the number is?
Centennial 4.
No way. All right, I've got Centennial. Brewers got Foothill.
I wonder what the line is offshore.
All right.
Somebody text us the number.
Shadow Ridge at Desert Oasis. You've got Desert Oasis getting shut out here.
Yep. Shadow Ridge runs it up, baby. Run the rock. Dio's going to take a while to get its stride.
Yep, I'm with you. I got to go Shadow Ridge. Mm-hmm. Durango at Pahrump.
I hate picking a team going to Pahrump, but it's an easier drive for Durango than some other teams because they're out there in the Southwest. I like the Renshaw-Fotu combo. And I think Durango gets it done.
I don't know much about either of these teams, but it's really catching me off guard that you're so high on Durango. I'm going to go with Pahrump.
Oh, I got a dub. I got a dub, baby.
Okay. Might be a bad decision. Clark at Boulder City.
This is one of those coins, CK.
Coin flip.
Boulder City playing an independent schedule, kind of get back on track. Clark. First-year coach, don't know what to expect. I didn't know what to do in this game. I got Boulder by an ugly score. I think there might be three safeties, 18-11.
I can see where you're going there. Two teams that look like they might be rebuilding, take the one at home. It's a little bit of a trip. But I have a tough time going that way. I'm going to go Clark, and this one should be a good game. This could actually be quietly a good game. Sunrise at Moapa. I feel like the travel will be a little much. I never doubt Moapa, even though they have some inexperience this year. They have some things they need to figure out. I like Sunrise, but I'm going to have to go Moapa here.
I totally agree. Tough to go to Overton. to play, especially in week one. Moapa has lost like one time in 8 years there or whatever it is. Two times, but one got reversed.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so we're on the same page there. Moapa, Chaparral, your team, heading to Bonanza.
Yeah, my Cowboys, they got a big, big, big problem under center. Who knows? They'll still be in the state finals, I'm sure. But week one at Bonanza, the Bengals get a dub, 2019.
Yeah, I'm going to go Bonanza here. Like I said, Bonanza, another team that is kind of one to look out for to me this year. I like what Deion Lee's doing there. I'm going to go Bonanza. Two playoff teams, according to you, we just picked Del Sol and Mojave.
Well, Del Sol is a...
I know.
I don't know about this game, bro. I think there's two good players on each team.
Two really good players, right? I mean, we can go as far as say these two guys are big time standouts.
Yeah, I mean, Flowers was on our watch list for the preseason All City team at tailback, and I like the Walker kid. I've already said that. I got Del Sol. I kind of regret it now that I've said it, but. I picked it last week, and I'm going to stay with it.
I'm totally 50-50 on this one. I have no idea. I guess hearing the regret in your voice makes me want to take Mojave.
Bro, I wouldn't. I mean, this is one.
I think we're the opposite. My first reaction was Del Sol. I don't know.
Have you ever played roulette before?
Yes.
You put like $5. You got one spin. You got a $5 chip.
Yeah.
Black or red.
Yeah, that's what this is.
I mean, the ball could bounce anywhere.
No, but the problem is there's no zero in this game. There's not going to be a tie.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I see what you're saying. I guess I'm going to go with Mojave. We're going to be different on a lot of games. Last one, Green Valley going to El Toro.
Another game. By then, that was obviously the last game that we picked. And I was so exhausted, and I literally thought I could be going less than 500. And I went to Max Preps, tried to do some recon on El Toro. And what I found was Max Preps' computer has them slightly better than Green Valley in the preseason. And I'm like, all right, well, let me take that because they're the home team.
I wish Green Valley was at home. I really would be tempted to pick them. It seems like they give these California teams a tough run each year. But it's a little tough going there. A lot of new pieces to work in. I'm going to have to go with you and go with the El Toro Chargers.
All right, so we didn't get a $5 game of the week, right?
We did not. I gave my best offer for the Foothill game, but it didn't come through. I don't know. Other than that, that was our one big chance. Maybe that will be something to look out for next week on Prep Sports Now. Marathon first episode over, but we'll be with you every week from here forward. For Ray Brewer, I'm Case Kiefer. Thanks for listening.